Praise the Lord, Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Married and Loving It. This week, so we have guests this week from the Ministry of We Still Do, Inc., Derek and Maria Purcell. We're going to talk to them a little bit about their ministry. We're going to talk a little bit about marriage, because we know the way the culture is going now, marriage is being redefined, and marriage is under pressure. And then we also know that, you know, couples are struggling with a lot of things that they don't get to deal with. So us as the church, as the body of Christ, and also to the wider community, we have to be able to stand for what marriage is, the biblical understanding of marriage. So today we're going to talk a little bit about their ministry. We're going to give you contact information because they have a multitude of events and other sub-auxiliary ministries within the We Still Do ministry. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Your contact information will be on the screen. And you might enter to come up to some of the events and participate and be with couples who recognize, who value their marriage and value their marriage covenant. We're going to start with scripture and we'll get right to the conversation. Let me see. I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, starting at verse number 19. And the word of God says, that is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and his commitment to us, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as through God we're pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for the saving blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for his sacrificial death. We thank you, God, for all that you've done in our lives. And God, we love you, we praise you, and we give you honor today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome, brother, sister. How are you, sir?
We're great.
Madam, welcome. I thank you for taking time out of your schedule and coming to join us. And to be with us. So let's begin. First of all, tell the audience a little bit about yourselves. How long have you been married?
Well, my name is Derek Purcell, and this is my lovely wife, Maria Purcell. And we've been married 10 years. It'll be 11 years, March the 8th,
Amen.
This year.
March of 2014?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. So tell me a little about what you're married. You've been married 10 years. You're right at the adolescent stage of marriage. How'd you meet?
Well, it was great. We met at work, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, newly to Christ, I knew that I was destined for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just went to a conference, and I began to pray for my wife.
Amen.
And I got a new job at University of Maryland in 1999. And I actually saw her, and I spoke to one of my coworkers and said, that's my wife there. And,
right.
You know, she thought that she should go and tell her that you are Derek's wife. But I told her, no, I am supposed to pursue my wife.
Amen.
That's the biblical way. And it's amazing how it operated. I was in a surgical first assist course, and I didn't get to go into the department that I wanted to. And, you know, I was upset about that.
Mm.
I was forced into a night shift, and I did not want to go. And when I came out in the morning, the department that I was in was right across the hall from the department that she worked at.
Okay.
And that's how I met her, face to face. She was coming out one day, and I was coming, she was coming into work, and I was coming out from the night shift, and we met.
Amen. And what did you think when you saw him, sister?
I said, oh, that's the nice guy from across the hall. I could tell that he was a very respectful man.
Mm-hmm.
But where God had me, he had me to kind of separate myself from people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not in any relationship. I was being celibate. I just was enjoying my time with the Lord. And so when he would come and speak, I would be very cordial and everything. But I never looked at him as far as being in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Until one day, one of the ladies in the office, she said, I think he likes you. I said, really?
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. And so he asked me out. He wanted to ask me out for a date, but I was on a 40-day fast, and I wasn't eating. I was only eating vegetables for 40 days,
right.
And fruits for 40 days. And so he said, it was like, I think restaurant week or something like that. And so he didn't ask me out at that time.
Okay.
Then once he asked me out, and, you know, we just started communicating more and attending each other's churches. And
okay.
We knew that God had put us together.
Amen. So let me ask you this then, because you know how with folk in relationships, how long was it before you got married? How long was the courting, dating circumstance?
Well, our first date was December the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember because
okay, wait a minute, bro. You make your brothers look bad.
Hey.
You remember too much of this stuff. You just rolling. But that's okay. December 17th. You remember.
I was in a great personal relationship with our Lord. And
yes.
I remember because the same way she was practicing abstinence, so was I.
Okay.
And I, as a man, I just thought that was something that would never take place in my life. And, you know, okay. I tried it God's way.
Amen.
And it was easy for me to be sensitive to God's needs because I had removed that one barrier that keeps man from
yes,
his destiny.
Does. Yes, it does.
And so, you know, I asked her out, and it was December the 17th, and that was our first date. And that's the date that I also proposed to her at the same place. So it was 1 year to the day that we went on our first date that we knew that God was putting us together.
Amen.
And I got the ring, I proposed to her, and I went to the restaurant before. I had flowers delivered. I talked to the lady. We got the same location that we were sitting in. Drinks were preset, and it was a nice romantic dinner. And so
right,
I proposed there.
You got skills set there, bro. See, I'm gonna come to your ministry, but you can teach some brothers some stuff. These brothers, y'all need to come. But this brother got a skill set that we need to share. He can mentor some of our single men on how to actually do it. All right, sister, tell me this. What you think? It was all you said the first day. You proposed.
The first date was December 17th.
Oh, the anniversary of
so
the
date. So a year later
proposed.
Is when. You know, we had conversation. We knew.
Okay, okay.
So a year later, okay. December 17th.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening good. I was
the first date he proposed.
Okay. No, all right, that's me. That was just me. Go ahead.
It was a awesome time, out courting time. We actually got an opportunity to really get to know one another.
Mm-hmm.
I know in some relationships, people enter into sexual relationships. And we decided that's not what we wanted to do. We wanted to remain, you know, godly and holy until we were married. And so we spent that time getting to know one another, really communicating and talking and praying. We really spent a lot of time getting to really know one another.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an awesome courtship. It was different than what I had done in the past because I had children. Before I met him, and he also had a daughter, so we are a blended family.
Amen.
And we have four girls all together, so
oh,
it's quite
four queens.
Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Yes.
And that was also, you know, just something a little difficult to go through in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
Because you know everyone's trying to get to know one another and everything.
Yes.
But we love each other. There are no steps. Daughters in our family.
Okay.
We're all daughters. That's daddy, that's mommy. And so we really enjoy doing marriage God's way. We really do.
Amen.
Let me just say this too, because for the men that's courting women, you know, we were attracted to one another. And,
okay.
And I remember the embraces were longer. And I just remember that I desired to pursue her in an intimate form. And,
right.
And I remember saying to her, I will not cheat you like this. And
okay.
and because these feelings are getting to where they are, we must pursue marriage. Because it's not like that everything was so holy. And, you know, there were times that, you know, we're watching movies and we're holding each other. And I the Derek in me desired more.
Yes.
And,
okay.
And I knew that if it was going to be God's way, it had to be his way 100%.
Yes.
And so something rose up and said, I must pursue this in a godly fashion.
Amen.
And that's when we began to talk marriage. We began to talk just what God has called us to. And so we always knew that God was going to do something. But in the infancy stages, we just didn't know what.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Actually, that is so much that I'm learning about you that this is what the body of Christ needs. Because between the blended family, between, you know, trying to choose to be abstinent when you all come together, no, you know, having children, it's these are the things that I really think that the church, especially when it comes to marriage these days, because we have these, situations where people try to get together, especially when they come to the church, and they're trying to deal with it that are overlooked. Let me ask you this. Your counseling with your pastors, whose church did you go to? How long was it? How did that work out?
Well, we're still members of Mount Zion Baptist Church. Okay. Pastor Mark Riddick is our pastor. It's now his son, mm-hmm. but his father counseled us. And, he imposed some great thoughts in, as far as marriage. And mm-hmm. I knew she was great, but she couldn't see it. And I would say, she's great, Pastor, she's great. She didn't mm-hmm. say, well, Brother Purcell, if she does never embrace that, could you still love her? And I said, I love her for who she is. I see the greatness in her. I do think that she'll walk in what God has called her to. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, if she never sees it, I am in love with her as who she is. And he said to me, he said, you have great aspirations for her. You desire much for her. I said, mm-hmm. but that's God. It's not me. He said, just know that if she doesn't embrace it, you'll have to live with that. And we got a lot out of counseling, and one of the things was that, scripture says, deal with our wives and do benevolence as the weaker vessel. Mm-hmm. I like the version that says as a delicate vessel. Mm-hmm. And as, I began to try to understand that. And there were some days that God wouldn't allow me. We call it heated fellowship when we would get into some back and forths. And
yes.
There's some things that God would just shut me up and didn't allow me to say, because as a husband, I'm supposed to speak her identity into being, opposed to snuffing it out.
Right.
And he did not, just because she's such a delicate being, as strong of a woman as she is, mm-hmm. she's just as equally tender and delicate. And he revealed this to me early. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't say certain things.
Okay.
And that is because, we're broken at the point we're broken.
Yes, sir.
Had I broken her,
yes.
with the old Derek, I think that it could have put more of a challenge in the marriage that we had to live together.
Amen.
I got all of that out of our counseling sessions.
Yeah, we had a great counseling. I was a member of another church, mm-hmm. But I joined the church even before we got married. Mm-hmm. I joined his church because God had released me from my church.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we went through the counseling with our pastor. But with us, we were both excited about getting married. But I think I had been a single mom for so long, mm-hmm. and I said, I want to be treated as a queen, mm-hmm. so I'm going to sit back, and he's going to treat me like a queen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he entered into the marriage. I'm the man. She's going to treat me like a king.
Mm-hmm. That's how I was raised.
And so...
Okay.
He wanted to be treated like the king. I wanted to be treated like the queen. Nobody was getting treated. There was no royal treatment in that relationship.
Okay.
And it was an eye-opener for us.
Okay.
It became very ugly, but we walked around in church like we were the perfect couple. Mm-hmm. We hid it so well, but God knew.
Yes.
God knew. And so when we discussed it, because I said, God, if this is what marriage is about, I don't want to be in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talked about it, I heard on the radio about the Family Life Weekend to Remember, and I mm-hmm. said, okay, well, maybe we'll try this, because we prayed about it and said, well, maybe we need to go to a counselor, but the Holy Spirit revealed to us that we did not need counseling. So I said, well, okay, so we're going to do something else. And we went to the Weekend to Remember, which is a Friday to Sunday event, and it wasn't even by Sunday, it was really Saturday, we were both crying, and we're like, I'm so sorry, honey, because they gave us the tools and resources, and we actually were able to talk about the things that were affecting our marriage, but we weren't talking about it, we weren't communicating. Before we got married, we communicated a lot, but I think that when you're in it and those issues rise,
yeah.
and I'm dealing with, I'm just being selfish right now, but I'm not going to tell him that.
Right.
He's walking in selfish, he's like, I'm being selfish right now, but I'm not going to tell her that. And so when we were able to just get away for the weekend, just him and I, we just discussed all of those things. I was like, wow, this is an eye-opener. And it really transformed our marriage. It really, really did, because we were not in a good place. Not at all.
To shed more light into that, so when we talk about this selfishness, you know, being a chef, I wanted to cook these great meals. I wanted to run bubble baths for her. Mm-hmm. I wanted to take her to these great restaurants. And, you know, I wanted to kind of introduce her to all of my peers across the state and other states. But the key word in that is that's what I wanted.
Right.
She would have been happy with a chicken box. She just wanted me to hang my coat up.
Amen.
And I didn't get that. And so it didn't matter that I opened the door for her. It didn't matter that I treated her well. I totally missed her love language. And her love language, at the end of the day, was it seemed disrespectful to her for me to come in from work and just throw my coat down after she had cleaned the house. Mm-hmm. So these were things that we learned in this marriage conference, that, you know, there are love languages, and as men, traditionally, our love language is touch. Just touch us, and we are there. Mm. But women have, you know, they're again delicate. They're put together, in a different fashion, and so, you know, some women may want to be esteemed. Some women may want to hear that you love them or be told that. Some women just want the house clean. Some women need to be communicated to and talked to like they're equals. And so, I had to get to know her. And I didn't have these tools. You know, we had great counseling, but, you know, the application piece kind of was missing. You know, we get married or we prepare for the wedding, but we never prepare for the marriage.
Amen.
And that was something that was just mind-blowing. And that whole piece, when we had a breakout session for the men, and the guy that was in, running the show at that point, he was the facilitator. Wasn't running the show. He was the facilitator, mm-hmm. And he asked this question: what does the scripture mean? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I couldn't answer that moment, mm-hmm. And for the next 2 years after we went, I sought to understand what that meant. Although I had an instant transformation, I began to study what that meant, and if I can just say, I tie that into the movie, The Passion of the Christ. Mm-hmm. And when I look at and think of and read the scriptures of what Christ went through to redeem us, yes. The church, his bride, back to his father, that's what that scripture means. And I robbed her of that, because I didn't love her as Christ loved the church. I loved her how I thought love was, but I never was concerned about her God-given identity, speaking into her life, what her weaknesses were, so that I could turn those into strengths, or praying with her, waking up in the middle of the night and just praying over her, and things like that, because if we're going to do it God's way, we have Amen. To do it all God's way.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, you know, that we, you mentioned a weekend to remember that. Me and my wife went there, but we was already in like 15, 16 years, and we went there, we had the same kind of experience, because we brought, you know, we got married in our 20s, and we was together 15 years, and we had two kids, and we went to one of those conferences, because I didn't save until like 36. So we was already married a couple of years, and that wanted to do it differently, and that was one of the tools that we went. That's what, you know, and we was able, that's how we are now, 15 years later. So that we see that we learned a lot from those two, and from getting involved with other marriage ministries, to hear the testimonies and the teachings and the facilitations, you do it differently, do it in God's way, and that's very important.
Yes,
because my passion with it is the church. When like you mentioned it, those marriage, sometimes the marriage counseling session turns into planning for the wedding, not just determining if you two need to get married or not. Because you know, if you look at it, and we ask ourselves, how much marriage counseling is, If we ask pastors, how many of those marriages did the counselor prevent them from getting married because they wasn't ready, or they wasn't made for each other? Or was it they came to you and said, we're going to get married, so then you counseled them with some stuff and you know, and then released them. You know what I mean? But that's just my personal. So let's talk about your ministry. Because, you know, I know that's inspiring someone. Someone's hearing that and going, okay, we can do this. Especially with your coming with kids. Yes. That's a challenge you see in the church now. Folk coming with from children from their past and trying to blend that family together to make it one cohesive unit.
Yes.
That is definitely a challenge. So we definitely need the Holy Ghost for that. So let's talk about We Still Do. Why did y'all get into it? Why did y'all, the two of y'all, because I'm telling you right now, folks going to look at y'all and say, they've been married 10 years, but they got to tell you. So why, how, and why did y'all get into marriage ministry? Why did y'all see that it's something God wanted y'all to do?
Because when we needed help, it wasn't readily available.
Okay.
We sought for other married couples, and, you know, after a brief conversation, we could clearly discern that they were just as bad off as we were, or worse.
Okay.
And that what was needed wasn't readily available. And obedience, pretty much.
Okay.
God said that this is what is needed. And so we discussed it, and we moved forth with it.
Amen.
And this is what it evolved into. We still do. And that within itself, on the marriage day, you say I do,
mm-hmm.
but after that, there's this commitment. And you were there, the last workshop was on mm-hmm. commitment. And every day, we still do.
Yes.
No matter what, you know, no matter, we have decided, no matter what we have been through, what we'll go through, what we're going through, we still do.
Amen.
And that pretty much sums it up. That's the commitment, that we won't quit. And that brings me to, you know, that was Christ. Christ said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
And that's it.
So that's what motivated y'all to get into it.
At the Weekend to Remember, we actually won a Bible study for couples. And so we invited couples to come to our home, and we met with them, and we went through the book, and it was just phenomenal mm-hmm. just to see men open up and
yeah.
share, to hear that other people have the same issues, same problems that we had. And so we discussed it, and we, you know, so once they started telling people about it, then the people were inviting us to come and do the studies with their church organizations
yeah.
or with their couples. And so we talked about, you know, what is our purpose in there for our marriage? God didn't put us together just because we were attracted to one another.
Mm-hmm.
There's a purpose. And we knew that marriage, for us, marriage is our ministry. It's what we do.
Yeah.
It's how we live. It's what we talk about. We hear, and we were hearing and seeing so many couples who were unhappy, who were discouraged, who just wanted to walk away. And when God put you together, you've entered into a covenant. And that's something that we should be taking seriously.
Amen.
And we should also enjoy that covenant. And so that's why we decided, okay, we're going to do this for other couples.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to help. We're going to encourage. We're going to teach. We're going to speak. Whatever it is, whatever God wants us to do to help couples. Because unfortunately, some churches don't have marriage ministries.
Mm.
And
yeah,
then
well.
Some churches who have marriage ministries, if couples are going through, they don't want their church friends or church family or pastor to know. And
right.
so for us, for them, it's kind of like an outlet. It's like, it's still Christian based, but it's not my church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can be free to date my husband, or I can be free to come to a workshop for wives, or I can be free to fellowship with other men and other husbands. So we are just honored by what God has called us to.
Amen. That part you said, I think that's really needed, because we get, unfortunately, the churches, you know, the church becomes a place, like you said, we're worried about prestige, our pride, our what's going on with us. We don't want people to know, because we want to put that facade up. And I think that, but see, on the other hand of that is, that's what's killing the church.
Yeah.
Because you have these broken folk walking around, and we're supposed to be ambassadors of Christ.
That's right.
And the truth of our relationships is going to tell the truth of our faith, of what we believe. And I think that I don't know how we break out of that in the church, unless it comes from leadership. Is that, I think it has to be a whole mindset change personally.
Yes.
But I thank God for your ministry, because what you said is people need to get out of their home church or that circle where they, you know, they have a reputation, I guess is the word I'm going to use, to be able to talk about these things, to get it out and try and find a solution to it. Mm-hmm. Because to sit in the church for years and you know your house is a mess, it's destructive to the church.
Yep.
Because if the family is the foundation of the church, if the church is the only strongest foundation, and if the families are broken, the marriage relationships are broken, the church is not going to be effective.
Yep.
Because when the sinner man comes in, he's going to see this stuff.
That's right.
He's going to see, if I come into church, and it's just like when I was out there, why am I staying here?
Right.
Because you people ain't doing nothing more better than I know people in my neighborhood killing each other, throwing pot and pans at each other. Y'all doing it in the church. Why am I coming to church for? Y'all not glorifying God in your life to the folk. But I'm sorry, that's me. I get into that all the time.
We understand.
Amen. But because you know my passion is for men, and you know
yes.
Brothers ain't living right. I don't know how you can't minister nobody. But anyway. So we still do. So tell me a little bit, so as y'all started your ministry, I mean, you said, you know, you have a place where people can go outside their church, which is, I think, a good thing.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your vision, your mission. What was the vision that God gave you for We Still Do?
To encourage, to educate, to help couples to have healthy and strong relationships, marital
Amen.
Relationships. Because, like you said, we help the marriage. Then we can help the family.
Yes.
Then we help the community. And then we go beyond there.
Yes.
And so we need for families to be whole. We need strong marital relationships so that, you know, people in the community can see, okay, marriage does work.
Yes, it does.
And doing it God's way does work.
Mm.
But if we're not doing it correctly ourselves, then nobody's going to grow. They're not going to learn from that.
Amen.
So we have to strengthen relationships, marital relationships, so that others can see and have some examples.
Yes.
We unfortunately didn't have a lot of healthy married couples that we could kind of glean off or lean
right.
towards. So God just kind of, even before I got married, God said, I'm going to teach you to be a wife. And I said, teach me to be a wife? Why? I'm not even dating. It's about you and I, God. We're just, you know, I'm laying on the floor prostrate. I'm just enjoying praying and going before God. He said, but I'm going to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. And so when he started teaching me things and having me to stay at home instead of hanging out with my girlfriends, even if we were going to church events.
Right.
You know,
right.
just, okay. And I'm not the best cook at all.
Mm.
But he, you know, was showing me how to cook. And I'm saying to myself, wow, this is okay. I really enjoy this. So he taught me because he said, I am teaching you so that you can go and help others and teach others.
Amen.
So I said, okay, Lord, this is what you've called me to do. And I just praise God for the passion that Derek has for marriage and for men and just reaching out and helping people, because you just kind of fit together.
Amen.
Like a puzzle.
Amen. And just to just expound a little more, you know, that the world, or a lot of churches, or, you know, we're all trying to fix the world.
Yes.
But that's kind of improper.
Yes,
but the
sir.
Core of our existence is marriage. And you know, we were supposed to be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion.
Mm-hmm.
And just as she said, as we fix marriage, we fix families.
Amen.
And it goes from the community to the world.
Yes,
and that's what, you know, and so that's a subtle attack that Satan has kind of sort of diffused our minds into believing that we can impact things without dealing with its root cause.
Yes, sir. That is exactly right.
And it's never going to work.
That's right. It's the root. Because like you said, God said that we come together, be fruitful, multiply. And he built the family. He started the family. That was
yes.
his first ministry
yes.
before all these great,
yes.
wonderful things. It was a man. And he gave the man a wife.
Amen.
And I mean, he gave the man a job and then a wife.
That's right. That's right.
That's another sermon.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. But, you know, you're right. And then the churches. Now, let me ask you this. Because, you know, some people see this and pastors will see this. Y'all ain't trying to steal their people and start your own ministry. Church. Not no, 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 wait, a church.
No.
Because that's what, because I'm going to tell you right now, we got men in the pulpit who were paranoid. I know, because you have to be careful, because I get in trouble for a lot of things I say.
So,
but some of them are paranoid about you stealing their phone.
No, absolutely.
All right.
So let me just say this: we believe that there's one God.
Yes.
And the Word, the true Logos.
Yes.
The Christ. So the things that we're saying are biblically sound. What we're spreading the good news to.
Yes.
And in fact, the commitment workshop that we did in December.
Yes.
I created a commitment form, which I'm going to pass out at the next workshop, because you were supposed to take that back to your pastor to align yourself up with his vision.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we're providing biblical life applications to reinforce what's already being taught in the church.
Amen.
And if there are men that aren't aligned in church, we as brothers in Christ need to help find them a church home.
Yes, we do. That's right. And man should not be alone.
That's right. And so, at all costs, we are actually sending them back to their churches revived.
That's Amen. Right.
Knowing that I'm not alone.
Yes.
I can go to my pastor with these things.
Well,
we invite pastors to come.
Yes.
Because there were I know that there were two pastors.
Two or three. I don't know if they're right.
And just to see the fellowship and their heart for men was great. So in no way are we ever out to
rob some sheep.
Absolutely not.
Okay. We come alongside you, and because what we're finding is that, especially even in leadership,
mm-hmm.
because when you're leading people,
mm-hmm.
you don't really necessarily want those people to know that you're experiencing issues for whatever reason.
Yes.
And so they find their way to us,
mm-hmm.
you know, for that encouragement, for that push to, okay, just get refueled and go back.
Amen.
Go back to, you know,
and
your
confidence.
Ministry. That's right, right. Do what you're supposed to do, what God has called you to do, but have your home life straight.
Amen.
Because many of us, we give, we pour out, we serve, we're at the church, we're doing this. And so we tell wives, okay, serve your husband.
Oh my.
Serve your husband.
Oh my.
Encourage him. Just give yourself unto him, you know. You can go to the church house, yes, and you can serve, but serve at home.
Yeah.
Serve at home. And so then when he sees you're serving him at home, then he's not mad with you when you're at the church building.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. You can't, brother, can't go to church and his dishes in the sink.
Exactly.
I'm done. I'm not, you know, I can't, don't make no sense to me. I mean, you know, how are you up at the church and I got the need? And, no, I'm sorry.
I digress.
That was when I was back in the day. I'm saved now. I'm cool. I can handle it. I can wash dishes.
We understand that.
I go, yeah, but I wash dishes now, so I'm good.
And we're faithful members at our church.
Amen.
So in no way is there an underlying motive to remove
Amen.
People from their church home.
That's good. Because I wanted to get that because I know that would be an issue of folk here. Because, you know, as you know, the people out here trying to start ministries all kinds of ways. Hook and crook.
Yes,
and,
yes,
you
yes.
know, so I had no respect for that. But, you know, like the Bible said, there's a scripture, you know, when they were speaking about disciples, they said, if it's of God, it'll stand. If it's not, it'll go.
Amen.
So as simple as that. I mean, I got to be pressured. I got to be upset.
Amen.
But let's get back to, so that's what we still do. Now, within the we still do, you have auxiliaries going on.
Yes.
So let's talk about brother. Let's talk about married men making a difference. Tell me about that.
Okay, this came about. I go to a nice barbershop where we can talk about the Lord. In fact, we're often talking about scripture there. That's
mm-hmm.
that's kind of not heard of in the barbershop.
Well, that's a different barbershop. I mean,
yeah.
You know, barbershop has its purposes because, you know, I had one when I went to a kid. I learned some stuff in there.
I learned some stuff as well.
Amen.
But there were men in mm-hmm. there complaining about their wives, and,
mm-hmm.
and that burdened me.
Right.
Because as men, we're called out to be solution finders, solution oriented. And that day as I was driving home, you know, I got in the car, I called Maria, I said, I can't believe how much they were bashing their wives. And we need to do something about this. So we started a men's prayer line. which is the second Monday of every month.
Yes.
15 minutes, because we know that's Monday night football as well. It's 7 o'clock. We don't let you miss your football. It's 15 minutes
of prayer. It's the pregame.
That's right.
You're right.
And it's not to pray about our wives. We specifically pray for our wives.
Amen.
We pray their strength in the Lord. We pray for their identity. We pray for the marital bed to be undefiled. We pray for finances. We pray for that they will be accepting of their husbands, and strictly praying positiveness and Christ ordained matters into their lives.
Amen.
And so from there, Maria was starting with the women, which she'll talk about briefly. But out of that evolved in 2013. In December, we did our first married men's workshop, which we invited all men. You didn't have to be married, because it was on commitment.
Right.
And,
amen.
And at the end of the day, it's about commitment. And Christ showed us the greatest commitment of all when he finished. He finished strong. And as men, we're committed, but we kind of pick and choose on what we're going to be committed to.
Yes.
go to work. Right. Maybe some men don't perform as well as they are supposed to when they get documented for disciplinary reasons. But they're committed. They go back.
Yes, they do.
But yet, they want to leave the marriage.
When
it doesn't go their way. Mm-hmm. So we choose not to be committed. And that whole commitment piece is based upon your worldview. And at the end of the day, just don't quit. No matter how grim it may seem, no matter what you're going through, trust God. And stay committed. And so from there is coming the next workshop for Married Men Making a Difference on February the 8th.
February the 8th, that's right.
And that workshop will... it will be awesome, and the fellowship, the men just discuss things with one another afterwards. It was men from different churches and a couple of students from college, and they just fellowship.
Yes.
So that's what it came to, provide men with tools that either we are a little shy to say that we have, we don't know that we have, or that we don't know that we exist amongst each other.
Right.
And we're all going through the same challenges at some point. Let's talk about it. Let's be real about it.
Exactly.
You know, guess what? If you need gas money, hey, help this brother out. He needs gas money this week. Don't hold that in. This is why I believe that men, not just men, but women, pastors, people are committing suicide today because they refuse to speak to other brothers or sisters about the things that they're going through.
They don't have no one in their lives. They don't have a circle.
Yes.
They don't have people holding them. I think you're right, because that's been the news lately. And they get to the point where they not trust, again, they're paranoid. They're paranoid at the pulpit. They don't think they can be real. They don't even seek help, even for pastors. I mean, if you're in leadership, you should have wisdom to know that you should have someone that you can hold you accountable, so you don't get to this point in your life. And I don't know. That's I think that's the enemy also, because once pride rises up in you, anything's possible.
Amen.
Because you don't want people to know stuff. You don't want nothing in your business. Like we used to say, you know, how we say.
Yep.
I don't want anybody in my business because, you know, they don't know nothing about me, or I have to keep the prestige, the facade up.
Yes.
And we die in that.
Amen.
And the enemy has been very successful.
Yes.
Because we hear about these pastors who could have been suicide, but okay, he's gone now. What did he leave behind? And what's going to be the bigger ramifications of those still here, because that pastor put a bullet in his head?
Yes.
And even that, when we talk about marriage, what's the ramifications of us and our marriage is breaking up?
That's right.
It's a ripple effect. It's going to go through our children. It's going to go through the family. You know, in-laws, outlaws, whatever you want. You know, it's going to affect a whole bunch of people's lives when we let our marriages deteriorate to a point where, you know, it's not doing what God called it to do.
That's right.
If it's not lining up with what God's will, there's a ripple effect throughout. And we have to be aware of it, especially as men.
That's right.
We should be wary that, you know, this stuff that's happening, it's just that we're not in a bubble.
That's right.
Because whatever's happening is gonna ripple out, and we don't know how it's gonna affect coming generations, folk around us, people who's watching us.
That's right.
Because that's what I'm saying about the church. People watching the church, and you, marriage is falling apart in the church. The people out in the world, they know they're gonna have a chance now. You people say y'all love God, and y'all got divorce rate. Y'all divorcing like we are. And like you said, in the barbershop, they talk about their wives like, you know, I don't use the word, but they talk to their wives. So a brother that's in there says, well, I ain't got a chance. He thought he was in church.
Yeah.
This deacon, this minister, and he ain't here with his wife. He, you know, he don't even like his wife. You know what I mean? But That's me. I digress. I'm sorry.
And amen. We want to leave a legacy. We have four queens and a lovely son-in-law. Him and I dialogue. We're able to pray together. I dated him. I wanted to get to know him, and he has a great relationship with Christ.
Amen.
And so in leaving that legacy, our daughters get to see what a godly man operates like.
Amen.
So now they have something to measure.
Yes.
And they see it.
Amen. Sister, let me go to you, because we're going to turn this into a men's talk show. Because I do another talk. I'm going to bring you back to my men's talk show. All right. Just the brothers. We can do a whole hour just the brothers. But anyway. Tell me about married women reaching out. I know I haven't been in any events personally, but I've heard, and I know some women who've been, and I want to get my wife to go as soon as I get the calendar for next year and make sure you email me. But anyway, tell me about married women reaching out.
We are women who desire to help other women grow as godly wives. We meet quarterly. We have workshops for wives. We do different events just to encourage women to invest in their marriage, to invest in themselves, to tell them, to talk to them about what God says about them, how they're supposed to conduct themselves as a wife, as a godly wife. And we get to come together and to share, to pour our hearts out. It's a safe place. We don't worry about, you know, anything getting out beyond the walls, because everybody feels comfortable. They can share and know that it's not going to go anywhere other than here, because we're going to help it, handle it right here.
Amen.
We allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. We always tell the women, this is not your ordinary workshop.
Amen.
It's not your ordinary workshop.
Amen.
So come in expecting to receive something from the Lord.
Amen. Now, sister, I'm going to ask you something, because I've seen it on the website. When you go to the website, folks going to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the sexy back, okay? Just give me a brief one on that, because I've seen it. I've seen some of the stuff, and I said, okay, here we go. This ain't Holiness Pentecostal. This ain't the other brothers? With
I've
the wife.
Signed her up to go to each one.
Amen, amen, amen. Because we know the sisters with the dollies and the long black, but bring the sexy back. Just give me something.
Okay.
Let the sisters hear a little bit about this.
Well, bringing sexy back to the marriage is by my good friend. Her name is Gail Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
And God has given her this vision to help women to be godly wives,
yes,
but to keep themselves sexy.
Okay.
And I know for the church, sexy is not a good word.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I need to remain attractive for him. I need to remain attractive for myself.
Yes.
I represent God.
Okay.
And so the things that I do in my marriage with my husband, that's sacred.
Okay.
And I should be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to women who say, oh, my husband has never seen me naked.
Oh,
and I'm thinking, wow. But then they come to a conference like this, and then they learn it's okay, because your body is not yours. It belongs to him. And his body is not his, it belongs to you.
That's right. Amen.
And so
you that's in scripture. That's 2 Corinthians. I know what that is.
That's the
okay.
word.
All right.
And
amen.
So
that's
what
word.
I love about Gail's events, is because it's godly based.
Amen.
I know that the words bringing sexy back to marriage, it can turn some people off. But when she first contacted me about it, I've been to every conference that she's had.
Okay.
I prayed about it. I prayed first, and I said, God, if this is something that you want me to go to, you want to expose me to, I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because to be honest, I was very reserved. And so when I learned, oh, it's okay, because I'm thinking, you're holy, you can't do anything.
Yeah, I know.
But he's my husband.
That's right. That's right.
He is my husband.
Amen.
And I should enjoy myself with him.
Amen.
And so that's what brings sexy back in.
Okay. Well, if y'all want more information, because that's as far as I'm going with it, right there. But if y'all want more information, their contact information is going to be up on the screen, and they're going to tell you about it in a few minutes. And sisters, I encourage you to reach out. Because we all know, I mean, you know, that's another thing with the enemy.
That's right.
The enemy, that's a foothold the enemy can get into. That intimate relationship in our marriages will be, that could be something. If it ain't finances, and it ain't the kids, and it ain't, then the next thing is intimacy.
That's right.
You know, then, you know, that'll stray, that'll bring fornication, adultery, all that stuff that will break a marriage again.
Amen.
And that's how the world sees it. That's why the world says, you know, my wife ain't this, ain't that, I can give me a new one. She ain't doing it, I find one that'll do it. Now I'm going to leave it right there. However, so tell us, let's give the audience your contact information, where they can reach out to you and get some more information, detailed information about you.
We are on Facebook. You can look up Married Women Reaching Out.
Okay.
Or Married Men Making a Difference.
Okay.
You can also go to our website, which is www.marriedwomenreachingout.com.
Okay.
And our contact information is 443-386-8876.
Amen. And about the brothers?
And again, it's Married Men Making a Difference. We are on Facebook. And the contact information is 443-630-9197.
Amen. And again, I'm Tika Thomas Parr. I encourage you, brothers, sisters, all of my audience is watching, folks you're watching this on the internet, I ask that you would reach out. If you're married, you know what your home life is, what your marriage is like, and you know that you need help. We have this ministry here. Again, they say they open, you know, you can come. And pastors, that you can contact them, they can come, you can send your people, get involved. Because again, the marriage is the foundation of the church. And if the foundation is strong, everything else will blossom from that. Amen?
Amen.
I'm Deacon Thomas Parr. This has been Married and Loving It. You can contact me at 443-591-3504 or email me at rejoicetv@gmail.com. God bless you. We'll see you again soon. Don't say cut.
Yeah, right.
Oh. Yeah.